That having said, I do want to continue my series of messages through the book of John. Before I start, you can turn to John chapter 4, verse 43 is where we're going to start picking up. But before I talk about that, I want to kind of mention something that I don't know if any of you have experienced something like this. I'm sure nobody has. I'm trained in something called motivational interviewing, and it's something I've been passionate about for quite a while in my job at work. Motivational interviewing is a counseling style slash strategy slash intervention slash theory. It's been described as all of those. That is evidence-based. Man, this, we have research after research after research after research saying this is, you know, this is effective. This is, there's just, it's been researched more than almost anything else in counseling. This should be shown to be effective. And I have been passionate about it. I'm an official trainer for New York State Office of Alcoholism and Addictions. In it, I work, the place I've worked there since 2003. And I do ongoing coaching sessions where we improve our MI skills. And it's like pulling teeth to get people to come, it feels like. And, people just say, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I'm so busy, though. And and yet, I have people who, in Rochester and other places that hear what I'm doing, and they go, oh, wow, Fred Hintz has been doing something that's been amazing. And I'm going, how come nobody in my own agency sees how valuable it is? Has anything like that ever happened to you? Seems like the people closest to you are least impressed. Am I right about that? Well, you know something? That's something that Jesus talks about. Let's start reading verse 43 in John chapter 4. After 2 days, this is right after he talked with the woman at the well in Samaria. He was going from Judea up to Galilee, and he, quote, had to pass through Samaria. Anyway, after 2 days, he left for Galilee. Verse 44, now Jesus himself had pointed out that a prophet has no honor in his own country. When he had arrived in Galilee, Galilee, by the way, is where Jesus grew up. When he arrived in Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. They had seen all that he had done in Jerusalem at the Passover festival, for they had also been there. Once more, he visited Cana in Galilee, where he had turned water into wine. And there was a certain royal official whose son lay sick at Capernaum. When this man heard that Jesus had arrived in Galilee from Judea, he went to him and begged him to come and heal his son, who was close to death. Unless you people see signs and wonders, Jesus told him, you will never believe. I want to stop right there. I want to remind us of what John opened his book saying about Jesus. Jesus was the Word, he was with God, In the beginning, he was God. He was the light that came into the world, and the world did not receive him. That's the theme to set the tone for everything that followed in the book of John. And I think this illustrates one of those ways where the light was in the world and the world did not even perceive it. Jesus had grown up in Nazareth, which is not one of the major towns at the time. It was not one of the major towns in Galilee, but it was a town that people knew about. He had grown up there until he was about 30 years old. And that's when he began his ministry. 30 years, the light of the world had lived in Nazareth. There were people who went to Sabbath school with him, to the synagogue. There were people who played kickball with him, if they had kickball back then, as a child. There were people who knew his parents and his siblings and people who had invited him over for dinner, and they had invited others. Just life. He had lived among them for 30 years. You know, I often hear people praying that they want to get closer to God. Have you heard that? These people had been as close to God as is possible for 30 years. Now, I do not believe Jesus was holding anything back during those 30 years. He was himself. Even at 12 years old, he was not afraid to speak his mind to the leaders in Jerusalem and got into discussions with them. At 12 years old, I cannot imagine that he stopped doing it. From then until age 30, he was in Nazareth, and he would talk to people about what God was saying in the scriptures. He would talk to them about what his opinions, his thoughts, what he desired, what he wished perhaps people would do and be. He would offer his insights, but nobody recognized who he was. A prophet is not without honor except in his own country. And I want you to notice in verse 45, when he came into Galilee, the Galileans welcomed him. Why? Why did they welcome him? Was it because they knew him for 30 years and they knew that the things he was saying all along were significant? No. They had seen all he had done in Jerusalem. What he had done in Jerusalem, he had cleaned out the money changers in the temple, and he had done signs and wonders in Jerusalem. Now he's famous. Now when he comes back to Galilee, they come out to see him. Why? Because of what he had done in Jerusalem. They could not recognize he was special until he was far away. Until he had gone somewhere else and just acted according to who he was. People don't see the significance of God in their midst until they see it from afar, until they see God working in other people's lives, until there's something dramatic that makes news. Jesus also said, when this man came to him begging for help, what was Jesus' first response? Unless you people see signs and wonders, you don't believe. He had been with them for 30 years, and they didn't believe who he was just by being with them. No, it's the signs and wonders. Now, God isn't opposed to signs and wonders, obviously. Jesus did them. God acts in the ways that he decides to act. Sometimes that is in miraculous signs, with signs and wonders. But, I can hear in Jesus' voice, won't you believe without the signs and the wonders? Just because of who I am, do I have to put on a show for you to believe me? I think I hear that in Jesus' voice. Signs and wonders. That is why, and this is probably just my own bias, my own prejudice, I just have a bad feeling about churches that make a big show of the miracles that happen. We prayed for this, and look, this person has been healed. God heals. That is absolutely true. But if we believe in Jesus because of signs and wonders, and that's what sways us, I think that's a problem. I think that's what Jesus was saying here. This is a problem. I've been living with you for 30 years, but now you want to believe because I did signs and wonders. You know, there's a saying that I'm sure you've heard for years, all growing up. I know I have heard it all growing up. Familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes we're around people who are good people, but the more we're around them, we get used to the good parts of them and take them for granted, and instead we start noticing the things that aren't all that great, the things we don't like all that much. And that's what sticks in our consciousness, our awareness. Jesus was with them all these years. Now, a question is why? If he's God, why on earth wouldn't people recognize him for being as special as he was? I believe it is because familiarity breeds contempt. I believe it's because they were so used to Jesus being Jesus. They were so used to him behaving the way he behaved that they just got used to it. They didn't think there was anything unusual or special. That was what is normal. They probably noticed when he would make comments that they knew were pointed out their sin, perhaps. They probably did not like that about Jesus. I don't think that Jesus was any more irritating to people with Pharisaical attitudes after his ministry began than he was before. I believe anybody who knew Jesus would know, he would say, you know, God doesn't care about how righteous you appear to be, or you want other people to know. What he cares about is truth, justice, love. I imagine that was the message he was giving all along. But it was so normal that people thought, well, that's what Jesus says, but, you know. But then when he points out stuff that makes me feel uncomfortable, man, who does he think he is anyway? I imagine that's how he affected some people. But it's when he did signs and wonders in Jerusalem. In Jerusalem. Way over there. Now. They say, oh. You ever notice that people want to take credit for knowing somebody after they get famous? You ever notice that? I'm going to do that right now. A friend of mine who was living in Syracuse at the time used to live in Atlanta, Georgia. And he told me that his racquetball partner, that he thought, you know, this guy, he used to be a professional athlete, but racquetball was not his sport, and he was kind of old. But, man, he got in that racquetball court, and, whoa, he was competitive. That man was Hank Aaron. I want to claim credit for a secondhand contact with Hank Aaron. You notice how people want to do that? Now that Jesus did signs and wonders in Jerusalem, people want to take credit for knowing him. Let's pick up with John chapter 4, verse 49. The royal official said, "Sir, come down before my child dies." "Go," Jesus said, "your son will live." The man took Jesus at his word and departed. While he was still on his way, his servants met him with the news that his boy was living. When he inquired as to the time his son got better, they said to him, "Yesterday at 1 in the afternoon, the fever left him." Then the father realized that this was the exact time at which Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And so he and his whole household believed. This was the second sign that Jesus performed after coming from Judea to Galilee. Some things about this miracle that stand out to me, especially based on what Jesus had said right before this. One thing I kind of notice is that this man's faith without works is dead, James says. This man's faith was exhibited by leaving Jesus' presence. This man's faith, the action he actually took was leaving Jesus' presence when Jesus said, "Go. Go, your son will live." Another time, there were people who heard that Jesus was going to pass by a certain place, and they would come to that place and cry out, "Jesus, Son of David, heal me." Their faith was exhibited by coming to Jesus because they knew he could heal him. This man's faith was exhibited by leaving Jesus. Also, the 10 lepers, that's how their faith was also exhibited. I want you to notice, Jesus didn't put on a show. He didn't even suggest to the man that he had done something miraculous. In fact, another person could have said these very same words to this man, and it would have come across as just reassurance. Don't worry about it. Your son will live. Go home. Jesus didn't put on a show that he was actually performing a miracle. Nobody around him, I imagine, at that time might have noticed that Jesus was performing a miracle. The people who were with the boy at the time did not realize a miracle had happened. All they know is the boy got better. The man himself could have just said, well, it's a coincidence. He happened to get better at the same time that I went to see Jesus. But he did a little more investigating, and he realized Jesus had done a miracle that would have gone completely unnoticed. How many times does Jesus do miracles now that go completely unnoticed? Because he doesn't make a big show of it. For example, I don't know if this is a miracle or not. It could very well be. Back in April, a man who at work, who has an office next to mine, came down with COVID and was in the ICU unit, very close to death, was in the hospital for weeks, almost died from COVID. I never had a single symptom. But on the encouragement of my wife, I went and got tested for the antibodies, and the test came back positive. Now, when I went to get my vaccine, I talked with a doctor who said, those antibodies, they're worthless. And I said, why? He said, well, they test for all coronaviruses. It might not have been this particular virus that is causing all this havoc. It could have been some other virus. Who knows? If I didn't come in contact with the COVID virus, that is also a miracle, in my opinion. I would not have known that occurred at all unless I went and got the test. How many times does God do miracles? How many times does God step in and do wondrous, great things in our lives that we may not even notice? I believe that's how God prefers to work. He doesn't want our faith to be based on the number of miracles that I've experienced this week. How many times has God put on a show for me recently? Then I'll believe him. That's not the kind of faith that God really wants. He wants the kind of faith that is based on who he is. Just the fact that he is the light of the world. He came to save sinners like me. I believe that's the kind of faith that God really wants. Another thing I've kind of noticed is that Jesus, before doing this miracle, did not require a single thing of this man. I've heard people say, well, you don't get a miracle because you're not believing hard enough. God isn't doing a miracle here because you are expressing doubt by not already claiming that you're healed. My mother died of cancer. It ended up in her liver. It had gone through several major organs before that. And Christians would come to her. It's kind of like Job's comforters, perhaps, wanting to help her by saying, God wants to heal you of this cancer, and maybe you're not praying hard, you're not believing hard enough, you're not doing this enough, you're not praying the right way, and they're thinking they're helping, but it wasn't help. I want you to notice Jesus didn't require this man to believe in a certain way, didn't require him to say certain words, didn't require him to pray enough, didn't require him to somehow exhibit great faith, except just leaving when he said, go, your son's healed. When Jesus already had committed the miracle. Jesus didn't require him to leave. I imagine if that man never left and instead kept pestering him for several hours or days after their words, I believe that boy was healed right then, no matter what the guy did. Jesus didn't require. There is no evidence that this man actually believed that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was a Messiah, that Jesus was a prophet. All he knew is that he had heard that Jesus had done signs and wonders in Jerusalem. That's all we know. Jesus does miracles sometimes to people who we may not think deserve it. Jesus does miracles with people who may not even believe in him. That is the kind of God we have. The kind of God who gives grace to people before they know they need grace. So I want to kind of end today. I don't have much more to say, so I better not say more. But I want to just leave us with a thought. What is our faith in Jesus really resting on? Do we believe in Jesus as long as he does great signs and wonders for us? But when the spotlight is off somewhere else, when there's no crowds, when there's no reporters, when there's nothing we can brag to our friends about that we knew this back then, do we still believe in Jesus then? Do we still praise him for the unseen miracles that he does in our lives every day? Every day. I believe God is doing miracles. Every day. I'm getting to the age at this point where a lot of people I went to school with, went to college with, went to grade school with, some of them are now dying of old age. But you know, I am healthy. I think of many, many times when my life could have ended just like that. Many times. In fact, there was one time this September that I think was a miracle. God showing me grace. We were in California. I was driving on an unfamiliar road, kind of mountainous, hilly, and I was coming down a hill and a stop sign showed up much sooner than I was expecting, and I could not stop in time. And I just went through, and a car came by. I could have been responsible not only for my death, but my wife's death, my sister's death, my brother-in-law's death. It would have been all my fault. There is nothing that could have, I mean, it's only, I believe, the grace of God, God's protection that kept anything from happening. How many times do things like that happen that I don't even know about? I believe God does miracles daily for us. The question is, do I recognize him? Do I see him for who he really is day to day? I want to encourage us all to be aware of the daily. The Bible says, his mercies are new every morning. Every morning. I want to encourage us to open our eyes and just be aware of the great things God is doing in our lives today, right now, and maybe has been doing in our lives for years that we just, like the people who grew up with Jesus in Nazareth, just never chose to see, just never appreciated what was right there in their midst all along. Let that be the reason why we have faith in Jesus. Because of who he is, who he's always been, how he's always, always protected us, always given us life and breath, in whom we have life and breath and have our and are able to move around. He has done that for us all along. Let that be what our faith in him is based on. Lord Jesus, I praise you that you cause the rain to fall on the just and on the unjust. Lord, that you cause your miracles, your provision, your protection to fall on me every single day. Father, when I lose sight of your current provision for me, Lord, I pray that you would gently remind me. Sometimes, Lord, I can get distracted by what is not going right, what is not beneficial to me and to those I love. And I can start to believe, Lord, where are you? Where have you been? Is there some other place or person or God who can give me what I think I need? Lord, just remind me of your daily mercies, your daily provision, your daily grace, your daily strength, your daily miracles and signs. In Christ's name.